Okay, Bahar Bruch Hukosai. It happens to be this year, I forget why it happens this way, but it comes to like almost every single Dabar Parsha is doubled up in America.
Yes, right.
It's doubled up in America because of the way Yom Tov worked out, etc. So we have another Dabar Parsha, but we're not going to talk about both Parshas. We're just going to talk about one of them. We're going to talk about Parshas Bahar. And we're going to talk about something very specific and interesting, I think, that comes up here. So when talking about Shemitah, right, what would you say is the most difficult part for people about Shemitah? What would be the most difficult thing for a person, again, especially if you live in an agricultural society and you are a farmer, so what's the hardest thing about Shemitah?
Loss of revenue.
Good, so you're not going to make money. Right, it's actually extraordinarily difficult mitzvah. Right, we think like, what's the hardest mitzvah in the Torah? So I don't know. There's a bunch, but Shemitah is a very difficult mitzvah. Right, it's very hard. And what's fascinating is that the Torah addresses the emunah and bitachon issues that come up with Shemitah directly in the Torah itself. Okay, and I want to talk about those issues as we move along, and we'll see what we glean from that conversation. So take a look at source number one. So the Torah tells us in Perek Chaf Aleph the following: V'asisem etz chukosai, v'as mishpatai tishmiru, v'asisem osam, v'shavtem al aretz avetach. This is after Hashem just gave all the rules of Shemitah. He says, and you're going to do all those things, right? All the laws that I've asked you to keep, and v'shavtem al aretz avetach. And when you do so, you will live in the land peacefully. What is the what's like the implication?
And if you don't,
yeah. Right. So one of those like right that the punishment of not keeping Shemitah is being kicked out of the land. Actually, that's one of the ways the Mefarshim read this pasuk. But fine, v'znasna aretz pirya, and the land will give its fruit. V'achaltem lasova, and you will eat it.
Till you're satisfied.
There you go. Till you're satisfied. Thank you. V'shavtem lavetach aleha, and you will sit. You will live peacefully on it. Good. So you keep Shemitah the right way, things will be wonderful. V'chi tomru, but maybe you'll say, Manochal b'shana shviyis, hey lo nizra v'lo nesav es tuvasenu. You're going to ask me, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? We're going to see if this is talking about the seventh year or is it talking about the eighth year, but what am I going to eat? I didn't... Hashem says, like, you know, it's a reasonable question. I might ask the question, like, what am I supposed to eat if I didn't sow the land? Again, this is why it's interesting. What's the seventh year?
The crops come and they eat.
Right, but what am I going to eat? I didn't do any work to the land for the whole year. So what am I going to do? What am I going to have? V'tzivisi es bir chasi lachem. So Hashem says, I will command my blessing upon you. Bashana hashinis. Hashishis, v'asisa tatua lishlosh hashanim. And you'll have enough produce for
3 years.
Sounds like for 3 years. Uzrasa uzratem es hashana hashminis. And then you'll go ahead and you'll plant again in the eighth year. V'achat minatua yashan ar hashana hachiis. Albo tuvasa tochlu yashan. And you'll have enough for up to the ninth year. Okay, so it's an interesting conversation here. Are we talking about a regular year? Maybe we're talking about a Yovel year. Because in the case of Yovel, by the way, right? So you'd have a typical Shemitah cycle goes 1 through 7, 1 through 7, 1 through 7. And 7 every time is the Shemitah year. You don't plant it all during the Shemitah year. And then year 8 is actually year 1. You keep going. Okay. However, when Yovel comes, year 49 is a Shemitah year. And so is year 50. Hooray, Jubilee. Okay, it's two back-to-back Shemitah years. It's
how would a farmer be expected to
do this?
Yeah.
That's exactly the question that the Torah says you're going to ask. Right? You're going to ask, the Chi Torah, and you're going to say, how am I supposed to do this? And Hashem's answer is, no problem, I'll make a miracle.
There was a precedent.
What do you mean?
Mitzrayim.
What do you mean?
7 years there was no food.
Okay.
I mean, 7 years there was food.
Right?
And then
they saved it. They saved it. Right, they saved it. Okay, good. But what Hashem seems to be saying, right, is that if you're nervous what's going to happen, the answer is, I'm going to make something happen that you're going to have enough. I'm going to give you a bracha. Right? You're going to have a bracha in the sixth year. V'asas ha'tevuah l'shlosh ha'shanim. And it's going to give you a simple pshat. Reading the words is, I'll give you enough for
3 years.
6, 7, and 8. If you have enough, if the year 6 provides you enough for 6, 7, and 8, well, by 8 already I'm allowed to plant. So when it comes year 9, I'll already have from what I planted. So it sounds like Hashem's answer is, if you're nervous that you're not going to have enough, the answer is?
You will have enough.
You will have enough. Don't worry. Trust me. Right? Trust me.
I mean, we keep on getting ads every Shemitah year to subsidize farmers and support them because they cannot live unless we support them and subsidize them. So which one is it?
Right. Good. Good. This is the question. No, but this is the... Exactly. It's not a...
Because if we give them money, that's kind of defeating the purpose.
but it's not trusted.
But you should already have.
Well, where's the
right?
Hashem will provide. Hashem will provide.
My father liked to tell that to me every time.
Everyone knows the joke.
See,
if you don't know the joke, you have to hear the joke. Guy comes to me. It's presented. Hello, welcome. Don't be sorry. We invite you sorry. It's great to see you. We're so happy that you're here. Come on in. I was about to tell a joke, but you know the joke.
What?
I was about to tell a joke, but you probably know this joke.
I probably don't.
Okay? Guy comes in to meet his prospective father-in-law. And he says, what are you going to do for a living? He says, Hashem will provide. He says, what are you going to do for this and that? Everything he answers, Hashem will provide. Afterwards, his wife says to him, what do you think about the guy? He goes, I don't know, it's pretty good. He thinks I'm Hashem.
That is cute.
So, and we just started. So, fine. So, but it sounds like, right, the answer is like, I'll just take it. Hashem is saying, trust me. Which, by the way, to be fair, he is God. Right? So, you know, someone's going to tell you, trust me. Hashem says, trust me. Okay, good. Fine. But let's make sure that this is really what is being said here. Am I reading it correctly? Take a look at Rashi in source number 2. Rashi says, Vinasna aris, etc. Vishaptim labetach aleh. Right, the land will be good. You're going to sit comfortably. It'll be good. Shelo tidagu mishnat batzor. You're not going to have to worry that a famine is going to come. Viachaltam lasova. You're going to eat in a way that you are satiated. Ach betoch hame'ayim tihei bo bracha. What does that mean? Within the me'ayim, there'll be bracha. What's the me'ayim? Me'ayim is? Me'ayim is your intestines, actually. It means you're going to eat. When you eat, it'll be enough. We're going to see a sfarno. It's going to talk like this also in a minute. Okay? But v'achalta masova, meaning it's not just you're going to have enough, but that which you eat will be enough.
You'll feel like you had enough.
Okay. And what's going to happen? I'm going to give you l'shlosh hashanim, says Rashi, l'miktzas hashishis minisan va Rosh Hashanah. Right, from that part of the sixth year, from Nisan until Rosh Hashanah, Nisan's when they start harvesting. V'l'shviyis v'l'shminis, and for the seventh year and the eighth year, sheyizru'u b'shminis b'marcheshvan v'yikteru b'nisan, because again, they're going to plant again after Yontif in that year. Fine, but so it's l'shlosh hashanim, and it's not exactly 3 years, but it's approximately 3 years. Ad Hashanah ha-tshi'is, ad chag ha-sukos, shel tshi'is, until the sukos of the ninth year. She eis bo tivuasa, shel shmidis l'toch ha-bayis. That's when the plant, whatever I did in the eighth year, comes to fruition, literally, pun intended, right, in that, after sukos of the ninth year. Shekol yamos ha-kayit hayu besadeg bigranos, ubetishrei hu eit ha-seif l'bayit, fayin upamim sha-yita tzrichim, tzricha la-asot la-arba shanim. And sometimes, you're going to need 4 years. Why is that? B'shishish lifnei hashmitah hashviyas. Shehem b'tedim me'avodas ha-karga. Shteshanim b'tzufos hashviyas v'ha-yovel. Right? If it's a yovel year, like we said, there's going to have back-to-back years of having to wait. U'mikrezeh ne'mar b'shay shmos hashmatos kulon. So this year, the Torah is talking in the regular Shemitah cycle. But the truth is, it would be even to the 10th year of the cycle, in theory, if you have back-to-back years.
Okay.
But and what Hashem seems to be saying, according to this, is miracle. If you're worried, you're going to have a miracle.
So you're going to rely on an open miracle.
Open miracle. Open miracle.
Well, is it kind of like, this may be like way out there, but is it
the whole thing is way out there.
Well, yeah, that's true.
We're already out there.
Is it kind of like if they planted in 5 for year 6, And then 7 and 8 was kind of like the man, how they got a double portion. So it was kind of like them getting a double portion there.
You may see that in a moment, actually. So I'm going to say something just like that, right? And maybe there's, yeah. But again, is that still miraculous?
Of course.
Yeah. It's still miraculous. Still miraculous.
Yeah.
Good. Take a look at the Ramban, source number 3. Says the Ramban. V'asisem es chukosai ves mishpatai tishmeru yazhir b'chukim mipnei ha-shmita v'hayov v'haniskarim lefi shehem mechlal ha-chukim. They are really, right, v'asisem, why it's called the language of chukosai? Because it's a chok. It doesn't really
make sense.
Oh, it's going to tell me. So people tell you it does make sense. Why do people argue that it does make sense a little bit?
The land needs to rest.
People
rest,
do. They right. crop. Crop. What's it called?
Rotation.
Crop rotation. Thank you. Crop rotation. But crop rotation, just for the record,
right.
is like you shift your, you have yeah, multiple exactly. fields. So you do crop rotation. It's not nothing. Even not. Those want to argue like this is like, no. This makes perfect sense. Not a chok. Crop rotation. Yeah, crop rotation is you have multiple fields and you swap them year to year. Not that you lay all your fields fallow for one whole year. Okay. Vamishpatim mipnei din chazaras hamem karim vavadim b'yova v'hona. Because the mishpatim is that there are parts of it that are logical. You're going to let people get their land back and let the slaves go free, etc. The other things that happen during Yovel. Va'amar v'yishavtem ha'aretz l'vetach. And it says you're going to live on the land comfortably. Sheba avon shmita v'yovel Yisrael golim. Okay? Because it's true that one of the reasons we get kicked out of land is because we don't keep Shemitah Niyovel. V'chazer v'amar v'nasna aretz pirya v'shavtem levetach aleha. And it says it again. You're going to get the land. You're going to get your peros and you're going to live on the land. Shalotit tzrichu latzeis mimena v'shvis lagur ba'aretz eretz acheres v'pnei chos shalachem. You're not even going to have to leave to get food somewhere else. Okay? So fine. So it's telling you, what he just pointing out that it says it twice. One, to let you know that it's that the ramifications of not keeping Shemitah is Amisha goes into Galus, we get kicked out of the land. And another point to tell you that don't worry, you're not going to have to worry about famine. Okay. V'chi tamru man ochal b'shana ashvis. And what about this idea that a person's going to say, wait a second, what am I going to eat? Kamo misoras, it's a little mixed up, he says, the order here. V'chi tamru b'shana ashvis. Meaning you're going to say, maybe you'll say in the seventh year, man ochal ki adaga alehem b'avur hashminis. So the Ramban's pointing out our problem, right? You're not going to worry about the seventh year. In the seventh year,
you're eating
the sixth year's produce, right? Yes, everything's hefker and anyone can take from anywhere, etc. But there's enough food during the seventh year. You just can't harvest it and sell it. But people can take, the food is edible. You're allowed to eat Shemitah produce, right? If you're in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah, it's a really hard time to visit if you're not, if you live in Israel, then these people live there, they learn the halachos, they know what to do. But if you're not, and you get there and they're like, no, that's Kedusha Shvius, you have to, you know, it's like all these rules and halachos, it's actually very difficult, but it's the halacha. But the point is, that because everyone eats the produce from the seventh year, it just has Kedusha Shvius, you have to treat it with certain rules and regulations. But the point is that that's not when the worry is. The worry isn't during the seventh year. The worry is, during the seventh year is when I will start to worry. About what?
The eighth year,
because I didn't do anything. What's going to happen? Now what's going to happen? Right, I'll use what I have, but now I'm stuck. So the Ramban just says, we're not asking about the seventh, we're asking about the eighth. Fine. Ki adagala hem b'di b'avur ha-shminis. Ki keivan shetchila shana shmita v'ayova mitishrei. Beiros ha-shishis yochlu b'shvius. Again, because the way it works is at the beginning of Shemitah and Yovel starts in Tishrei, so I can sell you from the year six during year seven. K'minig b'chol ha-shanim, l'chol ad achar ha-chatzir, shehu b'chag ha-shavuos. I eat the whole year until Shavuos from last year's produce. V'gam acharechen, ad kolos melechas ha-tvuos, lizaros u'lahabar. V'alkein ha-nachon, v'peirush, v'ases ha-tvuah l'shalosh shanim. What does it mean that says you're going to have tvuah for 3 years? V'avur shnas ha-yovel. Fine, but the point is that you're going to have this worry during that time, during year seven, about year eight. That's the point the Ramban's making. Fine. And the Torah comes to promise you. And you're going to be worried. And you're going to say, what am I going to eat? אני אצווה את ברכסי בשנה השישית, שתעשה התבוע לשלוש השנים הבאים אחריהם. I'm going to give you enough for the 3 years after. ותוספת ברכה, it's an additional ברכה, כדי שתספיק גם בשמיטה והיובל. ואמר וזרעתם את השנה השמינית, and you're going to have it until you can plant in the eighth year. Lomar, שתזרו בשנה השמינית כמינה כארץ, ולא תמרו לאחרוש לזרוע ולא לקצור. Don't speed up. You don't wait until the proper time and do it only when it becomes permissible. כי עד בו תועשה לבייס באיס אוסף השנים בחג הסוכות, תאכלו ישן. You're going to have all the way until Sukkot of the eighth year, you're going to have enough. Fine.
Sort of crazy. What other mitzvah is there where you have to rely on an open miracle in order not to starve?
Yeah. Any other mitzvah that you have to rely on an open miracle not to starve?
Or like an open miracle in order to fulfill the mitzvah, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Can you think of any other mitzvah like that where you have to rely on Hashem's promise that everything will be fine?
Mitzvah aseh? Or los aseh?
Any mitzvah. Is there any other mitzvah? That's a good question. Which you have to rely on that which is basically unnatural.
Right, it's like a crazy thing.
Right. We find it in particular circumstances that Am Yisrael were expected to do so.
Right.
At the Yom Sof or whatever. Right. But like, you don't find a
repetitive, like a mitzvah, you have to do all the time. But
forever.
But what about, like, I guess a long time ago, people who were keeping Shabbos and they were supposed to work on Shabbos.
Ah,
that was
good.
Something where they lost, they would lose
their jobs.
No, but Hashem never said, if you keep Shabbos, I will basically give you an open miracle to make sure.
Right, it doesn't say in the Torah. It doesn't say it explicitly in the Torah. That is a great, that's a great example of, right, a much more modern example of a similar concept that people were, the type of Nisayon people were put up to. But that type of Nisayon is sort of the Nisayon that's happening here. Right? Like what do you want me to do? If I don't do it, I'm going to be stuck.
But those sometimes people would have to literally, they'd lose their jobs.
People did, they lost their jobs. Yeah.
But like in general, we have this concept of hishtadla, right? Like you're
right.
You can't just say, oh, like I'll rely on
Hashem. Mm-hmm.
So right. Is there like another, like are we expected to like farmers to import fruit and vegetables from somewhere else? Like, is there like something that they're supposed to be doing?
What sounds like is the answer, again, the Torah, this is why it's so crazy. Right? The Torah is telling you you don't have to import. There will be enough. That's basically what it said.
Right, but is there any like Durabanon, learn out from it?
Because otherwise,
Hashem, you have to. This whole is all about something in
all
Hashem.
Of Israel, the farmers didn't follow the mitzvah.
Something so that then you.
So lest you think that this is all like Drush stuff, I brought you not first but fifth, the Rashbam.
I saw it was.
See, look at the Rashbam in source number 4. Look what he writes. Sorry, 4th. L'shlosh ha-shanim, l'fi ha-pshat. Good, Rashbam doesn't do funny business. Zriyat shishit, tifarnes shishit, u'shvi'it u'shminit. He says the same shot. It's the same thing.
Like that's... Friday, the man was
right.
There double was
on. Right.
You already knew that the man was going to be
right.
Up.
Right.
So in the 6th year, or even the 5th year, the 60th for sure, you're going to see.
You have more.
I have more.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But they didn't have an option in the desert. It was like.
No.
How you preserve it?
No. But the point is that, the point being that in year 6 at least, hopefully, you would already know that you have enough. Don't get me wrong, you'd have to like save appropriately.
Right.
You'd employ the Yosef model.
Right.
From Mitzrayim. You'd have to be careful. Right. But it would hopefully. You'd know, yes or no, has this gone well?
Did it always work out every single 6 year? Did it work out every single time?
Did it work out every single time? I'm not a Tanakh expert, unfortunately. I should become one. I don't think, we don't have stories in Tanakh, of like, messed like we're like, there's famine because, in fact, actually, Shani Tarragon said when she was here, this is a pretty good one. Well, this doesn't really answer the question totally, but she said when we talk about, so I'm not an expert in Tanakh, but I'll quote you an expert in Tanakh. Okay. She said when in the story of Rus, where it says that there's a famine, right, and that's why they leave. So there's a lot of parallels there to like to Avram having to leave because he leaves the land because of famine, etc. Or that Yaakov Avinu, left the land because of Yaakov leaves because of famine. And she said. I'm just calling it Medrash. She said there's no other time in Tanakh from Yaakov Avinu, from the famine, they go to Mitzrayim, until the story of Rus, that there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael.
Wow.
But that's more famine than having enough for that extra year. Mm-hmm. But it is true. But let's look one more, and then I want to show you something. But I want to show you something interesting, which maybe will ease your concern about this a little, not totally. I think part of it is this halacha is like a good challenge for us to sort of like raise our game a little. But there's also a part here that I'm going to give you, make you feel a little bit better about it, hopefully. I think also.
Like, but like historically, have there been problems like for the farmers? Like
look, what is definitely true is that when people came back to Eretz Yisrael, so there's like the, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, and they came back and the land was like a mess, mm-hmm. and people wanted to keep Shemitah, there was a real concern that if they kept Shemitah, the entire new yeshuv would be destroyed. And that's where this idea of the het mechira came from. Right? The idea of selling the land to non-Jews, etc., then you can work the land because now it belongs to a non-Jew, etc., which is itself a very controversial issue even today. And by the way, today, we go to Israel during Shemitah, so you have het mechira produce, and then you have other produce, which comes from like Arabs.
If you go to the shuk,
and no matter who you are, no matter if you see the ferocity, but you see the ferocity of the fight. Mm-hmm. You have those who are like, I'm not going to be mekel and use the het mechira, and they're like, you're not going to use the het mechira, which is from Jewish land. Then you're going to pay. You're going to use Arab. You know the oranges from the Arabs that you're going to do instead. And there's this fierce fight, surprisingly, between the different sectors of Eretz Yisrael about that issue. Like halachically, I don't want to rely on the het mechira. But if I don't rely on the het mechira, I'm purchasing from Arabs and strengthening them as opposed to Jewish farmers. So there's like a whole.
Can the farms go through either a het mechira by the law of the land, or can there be farmers who are secular and don't follow it at all?
How does it work for farmers who choose not to? I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm just curious. Like, I mean, there's a lot of not.
If they want to be able to sell them to the Hamonam, they usually need a hashkacha. Right, but I think farms in Israel know they know they don't get if they don't use the hadamichir, they're stuck. So they usually do. But yeah. Right.
To make
Shabbos. Right.
So that's kind of like how we incorporate it.
Bizman Azeh. Today. Right. Taking care. Yes. Yes. Okay, so let's take a look at source number 5. Take a look at Rav Hirsch, and then I want to show you. Oh, shoot. Rav Hirsch and. Okay, let's go. Let's move on. We're okay.
Did you finish Rashbam?
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted to show you the Rashbam. Oh. The Rashbam is my biggest, is my proof.
That was it.
Okay. Rashbam is my proof that this isn't like. Okay. Midrash land. This is simple pshat in the pasuk. Okay, simple pshat in the pasuk. We built the question for a long time. Well, whenever you have, maybe it's not a question. It's just a reality. Take a look at the reverse. Source number 5. God's providential care for the land will express itself in the bounty of the fields. When the weekly Sabbath was first instituted, Lech HaMishnah would descend each 6th day. Right, like you said, Shelley. Right. The double portion of Mun heralded the sanctity of the 7th day and also constituted a guarantee of God's providence. There's a lot, by the way, in Chazal about the 7 days, the 7 years of Shemitah, and the 7 days of the week. Right? In Shabbos, we refer to Shemitah as Shabbat Haaretz. Okay. Right? There's a lot of connections there between Shabbos and the Shabbos of the land. God ensures that no man of Israel will go to ruin by ceasing his work on Shabbos. So, during the sabbatical year, the double blessing in the harvest of the 6th year heralded beforehand in the sanctity of the 7th, and also constituted a guarantee of God's providence. God ensures that no man of Israel will go to naught by ceasing all work in the fields in the sabbatical year. So Rav Hirsch wants to argue this comparison between the halachos of Shemitah and how things went with the Mun are there to make exactly that comparison that many of you made already, which was people not going to work on Shabbos. If I don't go to work on Shabbos, I'm not gonna keep a parnasa. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The reality trust was, in Hashem. It was really, really hard.
It was really hard.
A lot of people
correct.
To not work on Shabbos.
It was.
And look for a new job Sunday, right. Week after week after week.
And also, many people did.
Yes. And Rona, also, Hashem never promised them, if you do keep Shabbos, I'm going to make sure you get parnasa tomorrow. Like, don't worry about it.
That's
like,
true.
That was fully, like just...
No, that's... That might yes. be... It might but, be true but that it wasn't said...
saying here that, oh, no, it's
part of that promise. So,
correct,
again,
but it doesn't mean it wasn't exceedingly difficult.
Right.
No, 100%. And, right. I think at least you have Hashem's promise everything's going
to No, but the point is that even if you don't have Hashem's promise by Shabbos, you don't have a, the halacha does not include within it a stipulation that you don't have to keep Shabbos if you have to go to work. That's not, there's not in anywhere. We don't have that, right? You have to give, you have to, you know, give up all of your, to do mitzvos aseh, you're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your net worth, right? So if you don't have enough, if you have $10 to your name, you can't buy an esrog, you don't buy an esrog. You're not allowed, actually. Okay, but if you, to violate a los aseh, right, to eat a cheeseburger, right? So I can't, if someone says, eat a cheeseburger, you lose your job, I have to lose my job, right? So, and same thing, someone says, go to work on Shabbos, or you're gonna lose your job, you have to give up your job. So even though Hashem is not overtly promising, don't worry, I'll make a miracle, the halacha that Hashem put in place does sort of imply the same thing. That keep the halacha, I told you you have to, and I'm not giving you an out, right, to work on Shabbos. And if that's true, that must mean you're assuming, Hashem is implying, at very least, and maybe not just implying, that I'm expecting this of you, and I can't expect it of you if it's, you're going to have no food. You won't be able to live, right? So there is sort of like a promise, like kind of baked in, that that's the expectation. Let's keep going. Our years conclude with the harvest, which begins in Nisan and finish with Tishrei. Thus, every normal year provides part of the needs of that year and most of the needs of the following year. You're just noting that the way the years are set up. Right. The Shemitah year, right, kind of heads in. It's not the academic year. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. However, the sixth year provides part of the needs of the sixth year and all the needs of the seventh and most of the needs of the eighth, for most of the harvest of the eighth is used only in the ninth year. We would have expected then the main concern would be for the eighth year, as most of the needs of the seventh are provided for the harvest of the sixth year. Okay, we said this is the reason why the Ramban interprets the question, as if it was written, it's not what the pasuk says. But we said the Ramban reads it that way, right? Okay, perhaps, so he wants to say a different answer, but perhaps Manochal expresses the concern that in the seventh year, one would not dare to eat because of the shortage expected in the eighth. Meaning, maybe you'll say in the seventh year, what's going to happen with the eighth, but you're actually going to be worried about the seventh. Why? Because this is just a different way to read the same concern, and the same pasuk.
You're not planting in the seventh I'm not planting,
so maybe now I'm going to, out of concern, right, I'm going to hold back. Halavai, we live in a society now where, like, nobody saves, right? So, like, you live in a, like, we're like, what do you mean? They'll figure it out later. Right? But human beings used to not kick the can down the road. They actually used to save, mm-hmm. right? And that was something we were expected to do. And you would expect a human being to be worried about even. In other years, one lived on the harvest of the previous year, as the provisions for the following year were already growing in the fields. But in the seventh year, nothing is sown, and what grows naturally may not be gathered in or stored, but is to be eaten in the course of the seventh. Were it not for God's special providence, not only would bread be lacking in the eighth year, but people would desist from satisfying their hunger in the seventh year too, out of concern about the shortage. Think about the amount of anxiety this whole experience could really, right, bring out in a lot of people. Fine. And then he says, L'shalosh ha-shanim. What does this mean, L'shalosh ha-shanim? Had scripture said, L'shalosh shanim, it would have meant a harvest that provides three times as much. But scripture says, L'shalosh ha-shanim, which means a harvest that provides the needs of those 3 years that draw on the harvest of the sixth year. A harvest that provides, as stated above, part of the needs of the sixth year, all the needs of the seventh year, and most of the needs of the eighth year. Altogether, this amounts to the produce of 2 years. You're just pointing that out. The language of the Shlosh Hashanim is really actually 2 years. It's not three. But okay. At the Yovel, where there were two consecutive Sabbath years, the 49th year and 50th year, and the 48th year provided the needs of 4 years with one threefold harvest. Okay, so the reverse is not really making it any better. He's just kind of doubling down mm-hmm. on this same point, that's really what Hashem is asking of us. And it's a very big ask. It's a very big ask. Okay. Okay, so I want to take a look now at the Nitziv. And I really, really want to show you the Tzvorno, so we're going to see. And Ruzev Left has a beautiful shot also. But Nitziv says something really interesting, so I don't want to skip it. He says in source number 6, V'chi tomru, right? So this is on the part of the pasuk that says, if you're going to ask, but wait a second, like, this is not going to work. Look at what the Nitziv writes. V'chi tomru, ba'sher sheba'emes, ko zeh eino ela maisa nes. He says, it's unusual for us. You're going to ask because the whole thing is, it's you're asking for a miracle. Shiyu gedelim b'shana lo zrua tvua, u'peros agla masbim es kol adam v'abehima. Like, a year when you didn't plant at all, is going to take care of all the people and all the animals. V'yadua de derech nes enoroi, elefi ha'achana lakach. And a person, a regular person, doesn't just get this type of special hashgacha. Hashem takes care of you like that. And in fact, the Torah started with, and you're going to do what I asked. Which is adding a different point, which is, what is a person going to do during Shemitah? A person spends their whole day in the field, and then for a whole year they're told, don't go to work. So what do people do all day during Shemitah? The goal is, the plan was, it was a spiritual reset. It was like a yarchi kala, right? And they have this all this time to learn.
Professional
sabbaticals. Because they would get, and that's where it's called a sabbatical.
Yes, exactly.
It comes from this, mm-hmm. right? That they take every 7 years, they worked hard, I have no time to really focus on my ruchnius, and for that, during that time, they would have that time to do that, to work on it. It wouldn't be a whole year probably because of the weird way this works out, right? But after Rosh Hashanah, whatever, like they would take time off and they would learn. Okay. V'ein min ha'pela sheyugdal kocham leloka v'yum aminim u'mostrim etz atzmam lehan ha'kal. So if you're spending time learning and really focusing on ruchnius, what's going to happen? So now my emunah is going to grow, right? V'neged zeh tiyeh be'emes az hashkacha nifla. So you might argue, you know, for those people who really use this time the right way, I get it. You're really focusing, you're really going to learn, etc. So now what are you waiting for the next year? You're going to be okay. Why? Because you're on this very high spiritual level. But what about people who are not in that place? Not everyone's, on such a level. And if not, then maybe there won't be a nes. Meaning, how's the expectation system? It's like every person's going to be like expected to like rise to this level and then have such a hashkacha fall on them. Shashkacha hi ba lefi achana. Hashkacha from Hashem comes when you prepare yourself for it. Ukumosha kasev, which by the way itself is very beautiful. Just by the way, as an aside, it's not an aside, but it's sort of an aside. The idea that the Nativ is pointing out is that when a person invests in spirituality, you get like, right, you get like a payback, not as a reward, right? But when a person makes himself more spiritual, so then you have you're ready for more spirituality, right? To come in your direction, right? That's why the Torah says. If you do the mitzvahs, v'nasati mitarat zechem b'yitoyere u'makosh, right? In the Shema, we say, if you do, right? If you do the mitzvahs, what's going to happen? You get rain. What's one through the other? So the Rambam says that when a person spends their time in avodas Hashem in the right ways, I have extra time and I use that for spirituality, right? So what does Hashem say? Okay, so then you show me how you deal with your free time. You use it well. So you know what I'll do? I'll put you in position. You can have more free time. Right, if you use it well, again, it doesn't happen one for one. You know, we don't know how Hashem makes his plans. But the idea is that idea. The more you show that interest in being able to use your time well, Hashem says, okay, so I'll provide for you more opportunities for that. etc. I might think, it's for the frumis. And I might think that Shemitah is only for the really, really religious. It's not true. The Torah is for everybody. And therefore the Torah says, and if you're going to be nervous, you're going to say, Hashem, like, I don't know, I'm not like those guys. I'm not going to be like that. I'm not so, I know who I am. I'm honest about myself. I'm not in that place. And he says, that's the worry that the Torah is amplifying. You might be saying, I'm not that type of person who gets hashkacha pratis like this from Hashem. Azai vitzivisa. Shu bederach hashkacha pratis bederach ateva. So the answer is, it's still a nes. But the answer is that this nes comes, you do what you're supposed to do here, not because you did extra, not because you also meditate and you learn seven hours a day, but the point is you keep Shemitah, which is hard enough, you pass that test, then this nes comes to you. Derech Teva, in a natural way.
Really, everyone had to participate or not. Because
otherwise, he's going to light up.
In one place and not in the other.
So well, Hashem has his...
He has his ways.
Has ways, right? Okay. Umash Shikatsu Banachah, I just want to keep going. Yeah. And he says, Umash Shikatsu Banachah B'Shana HaShviz, Ein HaPeirish Shalo Yeh Malachah B'Shana HaShviz. שווה הסיף משנה השישית שאוכלים בשביעס. ואין תבוע חסר, אלא בסוף שנה השביעס. אבל עיקר חוסר תבוע הוא בשנה השמינס. אלא פרש הקוסף איך יתאמרו בשנה השביעס, he's quoting on the Ramban, the last point. But the point being, the Nitziv is setting the stage for our next point, which is that this idea of like, but there's this worry, like it can't just be for the special people. It's got to be for the regular people. And what the Nitziv is saying is that v'chi, you know, it's a very unusual thing for the Torah to say. And if you're going to worry, don't wear shatnez. Put on tzitzis. You know, keep Shabbos. Doesn't say like, and if you'll say Shabbos is so, like, why over here specifically? All of a sudden, like, and what's going to happen in your mind? You're going to be worried. It's such an interesting thing. He says, because it's so unusual. It's so strange that it will lead people to worry about it. And so Hashem goes out of his way to place in the Torah, I know you're going to be worried. I'm telling you, I got it. Okay? But let's look at one more shot. Look at this Svarno, source number 7. We'll see. We're not going to answer all of our questions, but we're going to end with something nice. Svarno says like this. What does it mean, v'achaltam lasofa? Right, so we said, right, if you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to eat comfortably. Shiyu aperos rabbe hamazon. The peros will be a lot, okay? Ki inen shehaya ba'omer, shehaya maspik legadol kamola katan. Kamam ramzal, ochel kima umidbarech b'meyav. Okay, we said this again, omer, meaning about the omer lagogola was the amount of the man. So what does it mean, you're going to eat lasova? It means you'll eat a regular amount, but it's going to make you particularly full. Okay, v'yaspigu perish hashishis gam l'shvius, in the sixth year will last you also through the seventh year. V'shavtem avetach alev v'lotisu cherpas ra'av bagoyim sh'lotistarchu l'aleches baratzosam l'knos hatuvos. This is explicitly, right? You're not going to have to go buy fruit from somewhere else. You're going to have enough. But again, the first part he says, if you follow the rules, what's going to happen? You're going to eat, and somehow you're going to have enough. I think we saw this, we talked one time, in the brachos, it says, v'achaltem yashan noshan. You're going to eat the old will be like the new, and I think some of the Mefarshim said that whatever you eat will be enough, somehow miraculously it'll be enough, even though really the amount isn't so much, but it'll fill you more. Okay, so it sounds like what the Svarno is saying is if the first shot is if things go well, you're going to have this like, you know, this miracle sort of.
The first dose.
Yeah. There you go. V'chitamru manochal, and if you're going to say, but wait a second, Hashem, this is not going to work for me. I'm nervous. V'kashe yusupak ze'etzlechem, v'lov tiftechu. Let's say you have a hard time. You have a hard time having that love of bitachon. It's a hard thing. Shiyah me'at maspik be'ichus. Such a small amount, it's going to last. It's a sixth year. I can see how much is there, like you said, right? I can see how much is there. And it's not enough. V'asi says hatfua, ba'ofen shetispa ayin mer'os. Vitiru shiaspika kamos. What's going to happen? There's going to be enough, and you're going to be able to see there's enough. But what the Svarno seems to be saying is that there's two tiers in how Shemitah will play out. For those who have that higher level of bitachon, what's going to happen? The small amount will last. How? It just will. But if you are feeling more worried, what will happen? Hashem will provide a real miracle. A more overt miracle, that you're actually going to see more than you're supposed to have. The amount will be more. Okay? And why is that going to help for the person who has a little less bitachon? Why is it going to help? They'll be, you know, assuaged from their worry. Right? They'll feel better because they'll see more. So it sounds like, almost like there are two tiers, depending on who you are. So Zev Lef, who lives in Moshe Matiyahu in Eretz Yisrael, so he said, I don't understand. He goes, what you mean to tell me is that the people who have a lower level of bitachon get a bigger miracle.
Yes.
How's that?
Hashem wants to convince them.
Ah, so he says, take a look at source number 8.
But it doesn't.
The Torah says, the parsha's Ekev. V'nashal Hashem lo kechas hagoyim ha'el. Mipanecha ma'amam. You're going to go into fight in Eretz Yisrael. And he says to them, when you go in, you're going to destroy those nations. Lo tuchal kalatam meher, pendeber lecha chayat hasadeh. And don't worry. It's so fascinating. Hashem says, you won't get rid of them too fast. Why? Because if you get rid of them too fast, what's going to happen? The land will be empty and animals will come. So you only want to get rid of the other nations slowly, slowly, to, as they move out, you move in. As they move out, you move in, because otherwise animals will come. Rashi says, you're doing what Hashem asked. So Hashem can also make sure the animals don't come. Like, what's the, right? So he says, V'chaya says that, Hashem alacha, Ela galoy haya lefanav, she'atidin lachto. So what Hashem, so what's the reason, says Rashi? Because what's going to happen is, you're gonna knock the nations out, and then they'll make mistakes, and you won't really be worthy of my hashachas pratos anymore. So I'm going to do it slow. So I'm going to do it slowly, so that it'll be b'derech hatev, it'll be the natural way, they won't come in. Meaning that what Hashem's saying is, I know you, and I know it's not going to go perfect. I get it. So what Hashem is saying is the same thing here, right? Yeah, we should be on the higher level, that whatever comes, we'll know it'll be enough, and it'll be enough, and it'll last, and it'll be fine. But Hashem knows that that's not something we can always handle. And so what He promises is a big miracle, in case you need it. Even though you shouldn't need it, you should just trust in Hashem. Answer is, not all of us are on that level. We can't all do that. We can't all handle that. And so He promises, instead, even for the people, like the Nitziv said, the people who can't handle that in the same way, He'll make it enough in the sixth year. You'll see how much it is. So you'll be able to relax. And you won't be as nervous. Okay? There's a braisa that says, Ezu Hashir Samech Bechalko. Who's happy? The person who's happy with what they have. The braisa ends, Ezu Hashir Samech Bechalko, Zu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Hashem. Hashem is happy with what he has. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner went to Vilna Gaon and he asked him, what does that mean? Hashem has everything. What do you mean Hashem Samech Bechalko?
We're so imperfect.
So, very good. So the Vilna Gaon answered, we are, Am Yisrael is, the chelek of Hashem. Wow. We are Hashem's chelek. What does it mean Hashem is Samech Bechalko Zu HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That Hashem understands who we are.
That should be on every
word. Right? Mm-hmm. Hashem Hashemech v'chelko zu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is happy with His chelak. He's happy with His
Why
people.
Why don't we
learn that? We are right now.
No. In high school.
Right? Okay? So that we have to remember, says Rabbi Aleph, Hashem is even offering us. It's so, I know that the part of it, the whole thing being a miracle, is hard to understand. Like, well, the reality is, how does that work? And okay, it's a good question. I don't have the answer to the whole thing. But the idea, first of all, that Hashem asks it of us, means, first of all, that
we can do it.
He thinks we can do it. And you see people, you've experienced people who have real bitachon like that. It's amazing. And by the way, the fact that people support them, okay, Hashem's support can come from all kinds of places, right? If someone says, I'll go on a speaking tour during Shemitah and I'll make money that way, and that works, okay, so Hashem is sending them money that way, right? We all do all kinds of ishtalas to make money, and it happens, he could go on speaking tour and try a speaking tour and it won't work, right? If it works and he gets money that way and he doesn't have to worry about his produce, so fine. So that works for him also. But the point being, Hashem, first of all, sets the bar in a way that clearly he believes we can do it. I may not always be able to, but we have the potential for it. But second, it's fascinating in this specific halacha, in one case, says, and I get that it's going to be hard. And you might worry. And you know what? If you worry, I'll try to make it even easier for you, even if you don't really deserve it. Because I know that you can't always handle it exactly the way that I've set it up for you. And I think it's a great message of how Hashem views us, but it's also a great message for how we should view other people.
It works right? The other way, too.
Right.
That you notice it's, you get an unexpected sum of money. The IRS sees you made a mistake and they give you more. Within the week, you need the plumber.
Right.
And there's the money that Hashem sent you, like Hashem gives the cure before the disease.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, here's an extra $2,000, so you better hold on to
yeah.
it.
You know what's coming.
That faucet,
but correct. Again, it's not perfect. It's not easy. It's not like, what do you mean, no big deal? Hashem will provide. It's not that simple.
It's
a very difficult. It's a hard thing. It's one of the biggest struggles in life for a lot of people. Is like this, you know, I'd say for a lot of us, right? Like, you know, knowing that if I make the right, if I just do the right thing that I'm supposed to do, it doesn't mean I'm promised that the thing that I want will happen. That's not bitachon. I've told you this story many times, right? Rav Pesach Kron came back he was talking to Rav Shimon Schwab, and his father was very sick in the hospital, and he was visiting. His father was a Columbian Presbyterian. Rav Shimon Schwab was a rabbi in Breuers. So one Shabbos, he was staying by Rav Schwab, and he comes home, and Rav Schwab says, "How's your father?" And Rabbi Kron said to him, "I have bitachon, he'll be okay." And Rav Schwab yelled at him. And he said, "That's not bitachon."
That's right.
Bitachon does not mean Hashem will do what you want.
Whatever Hashem does.
It means that whatever Hashem does is what he thinks is right, which is hard enough. But that's not, bitachon does not mean, I'll be fine.
Because I can get your way.
I can get your way. That's not what bitachon means. But it means that in some way that we can't possibly understand, Hashem has a plan. But so it's not that it's easy. It's not easy. It's not simple. But it is that there's a construct here that he expects of us, that he wants us to see that we can do. And even within how he's setting the bar, he reminds us, and I also know that it's not that simple. And it might be hard for you. And I'll set you a couple of tiers at least to manage to do your best. But at the end of the day, we're all on a journey. We're all trying. We're all giving our best. But this at least is the construct, at least, that he sets up. And I think, like you said, this is not just about Shemitah. There's so many areas of life where this same concept comes into play, whether that's what Shabbos was in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, or maybe it's today with other things, right, that are challenges for us and we have to find our way through. And, you know, it's a real struggle and a real thing. But I think maybe at least we can remind ourselves that even if that Hashem calls on us, maybe I got it right, that we need to believe in Him. And even if we have a hard time, He's still going to believe in us and know that we have the opportunity and the ability and the potential to make it. Okay?
Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.